Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see you all in here. And I was having a few days of break last week after a very busy Lenten season, and went to visit a church in Chino. And, you know, I don't get to have a chance to sit in the pews and listen to the preacher and worship together with other worshipers. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what a privilege it is to just to sit and relax, right? But also, privilege was to find the co-worshippers. It is always encouraging that we are not alone on this journey. We have many believers, friends, and above all, we have Christ walking our journey with us. So the message for today is exactly that. We are not alone, and God walks this lonely life journey. We can feel awfully lonely in this journey, even we are surrounded with people, but Jesus is walking our journey with us. So I pray that as we worship together, we will receive the encouragement from the Holy Spirit that we may be filled with the joy of Christ in our life. A very frugal couple was celebrating their wedding anniversary and decided to take a short trip out of town. Since they were on a tight budget, they stayed at a modest motel. No bells, no whistles, and definitely no minibar. They enjoyed several quiet days, mostly doing free activities like staring at ducks and arguing over whether to tip the maid. When it came time to check out, the husband looked at the bill and frowned. "What is this $150 charge?" the manager said. "That's for the fresh fruit basket. We put it in your room every day." The husband raised an eyebrow. "We didn't eat any of it." The manager shrugged. "It was not my fault that you did not eat it. It was there." The husband did not argue. He calmly pulled out a pen, subtracted $150 from the total, and handed it back. The manager looked confused. "What is this?" the husband said. "I'm charging you $50 a day for kissing my wife." The manager's eyes widened. "I didn't kiss your wife." The husband smiled. "Not my fault. She was there." Is God there? Of course God is in our lives. The problem is that we often fail to recognize him as we should. Let us be honest. Do we always recognize God? We do not. This is especially true when we are facing troubles. Consider what happened to two dedicated followers. They had been so close to Jesus for the past 3 years. When we know people for a long time, we can easily identify them by their demeanor and the way of speaking. They even spent nearly the entire day walking, talking, and having meals with Jesus, as they used to do during Jesus' public ministry. Yet, they did not recognize him until the final moment. The reason was that they were so distressed that their cognitive functions were shut down. When our hearts are heavy, we lose the ability to focus and comprehend our surrounding, leading us to question whether God is present in our lives. This reflects the kind of path we tread, namely the road to Emmaus, when we are troubled. We will compare what the two apostles experienced on the road to Emmaus with our journey this morning. Who were the two apostles? One of them was Clopas, but the identity of the other remains unknown. Clopas appeared only once in the New Testament. However, there are some clues in the chapter that help identify the two. Verse 9 of the chapter 24 states that the women reported the news to the 11 and all the others. And verse 10, Luke refers to the 11 and all the others, presumably the group of dedicated followers, as the apostles. Disciples were distinguished from other followers when the disciples and other followers were mixed together. Luke intentionally labeled them as the apostles. Luke does not give titles to the two followers, simply referring them, two of them, in the lesson we just read. They didn't have a title, just say two of them. But from verses 9 and 10, we can infer that they were apostles who belonged to the inner circle of Jesus. Moreover, Luke's account of their encounter in the final chapter serves as significant proof of the risen Lord, indicating that the two were important leaders in the early church. Traditionally, Clopas is recognized as the brother of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. When did the account occur? It was on the first day of the week, the resurrection day, and in our terms, Sunday. Devout women went to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark. They encountered two angels inside a tomb who told the women that Jesus had risen again. The women shared the news with the core followers, and Peter himself confirmed that the tomb was empty. So it was apparently Sunday morning, the resurrection day, Easter day, right? Where did the encounter take place? Celebrating the annual feast of the unleavened bread in Jerusalem was a mandate. Every male supposed to present themselves the three times a year on those major holidays, major feasts. When the feast concluded, everyone returned home. After Jesus died and the feast ended, the apostles saw no reason to stay in Jerusalem. Their journey to Emmaus reveals much about disappointment, uncertainty, discouragement, disillusionment, grief, and more. Jesus meant the world to them, and the crucifixion shook the very foundation of their existence. So put all those conditions together, who they were, when did that encounter happen, and where did it happen? The two dedicated apostles were supposed to celebrate Easter. Contrarily, they grieved terribly on that Easter day. Even when Jesus walked with them on the road, they did not recognize Jesus. Luke says they were kept from recognizing him. What kept them from recognizing Jesus? It was their troubled heart that impaired cognitive functions. This commonly happened to believers when they are in trouble. Numerous studies show that stress or trauma significantly impair cognitive functions, affecting memory and concentrations. Stress and trauma also divert resources to survival. I mean, this is what happened, right? When you are in trouble, when you face some problem that you cannot handle, you turn yourself, there's a little switch inside of you, turn that switch to the survival mode. That's what we usually do. MS means hot spring. Figuratively speaking, the apostles lost the passion and inner flame that energized them. They thought that Emmaus, a hot spring, could warm themselves up, help relax their tense bodies, and relieve their depression. They needed a hot bath, so their hearts were set on Emmaus. In other words, they were in survival mode after the crucifixion. But would their move to Emmaus help them survive? Maybe it would temporarily, but not permanently. Moreover, it was the wrong move. As they were moving away from Jerusalem, the spiritual center, a place to restore their spiritual fervor, many believers take the same route as the two apostles. In time of trouble, they do not seek God or utilize their spiritual resources. Instead, they move away from the faith communities that could strengthen them to overcome hardships. Isn't this what some of us do, or many of us do, when we find ourselves in trouble? We habitually walk on the road to Emmaus, thinking to ourselves, there is no one left to take care of us. God seems to be absent in our struggles. We must survive on our own and take measures within our control. We have walked on the road to Emmaus in the past, but whenever we find ourselves in trouble, we tend to take that trip over and over. Seeing there is no one to help us is not the real picture of our life. God is an ever-present help in trouble. God has never left our side. The grace of God is still available when we walk on the road to Emmaus. Jesus walks with us when we are down in spirit. We are very familiar with this famous poem called The Footprint in the Sand. It's a beautiful poem that has touched many hearts over decades. To me, the poem is a lovely interpretation of the road to Emmaus. The person in the poem experienced a situation similar to that of the two apostles. I'm going to add a few phrases from the gospel lesson to the poem, and you will see that it still flows naturally as part of the poem because it essentially conveys the same message of God's presence spoken by the two apostles. I'm going to read the poem now, but just to a little note in here. This poem, believe it or not, being argued over who wrote the poem, and there are actually many different versions. So I'm going to read the version that Mary Stevenson seems to be, she was the actual one who wrote the first poem. So it says, it sounds a little different, but I'm going to read. And then I will add a few phrases that I took from the gospel context. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there were one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I follow you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying period of my life, there have been only one set of footprints in the sand. Why? When I needed you most, you have not been there for me." The Lord replied, "I walked with you the whole day, but you didn't see me. You turned your head and looked somewhere else. I spoke through words I wrote to you, sent people to carry my voice. I spoke straight to your heart, but your mind was so too full to hear me. I sat beside you at your table, smiled at you with love, but you were too busy worrying about food and clothes instead of looking for me. The times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you." Have our trials led us down the road to Emmaus, relying on mere human strength and mundane solutions? If so, it's time to return to Jerusalem, our spiritual home, where divine resources flow and our souls are truly nourished. Are we burdened by the weight of care, blind to the presence of God's helping hand? That's not the complete picture of our lives. The truth is this: no matter where we are, no matter how lost or weary we may feel, the risen Christ is with us. Remember, Jesus is the invisible but faithful travel companion. He walks beside us. He speaks to our heart. He restores our hope. Amen.